Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Guys, I'm confused. Is Kevin Durant coming back from an Achilles injury? Because I can't tell. Dropping 30 against the reigning MVP, the highest paid player, and that would be Giannis and the Bucks. The Nets won. Kyrie didn't play, missed his seventh straight game. Personal reason, should be back Wednesday. Stephen A., what do you make of KD's return so far? How impressed are you?
Kevin Durant is going to win league MVP honors. When this season is over, Kevin Durant is going to be crowned, excuse me, two awards. He's going to be named the league MVP, league's most valuable player, and he's going to be crowned the comeback player of the year. He's going to win two awards. Both of them are going to belong to him. You can book it. You can't put in, we're wordsmiths here, we're a bit loquacious, this is what we do for a living, but it's kind of difficult to put into words what we're witnessing transpire. Brooklyn Nets have won four straight, by the way. Kevin Durant is averaging 30.6 points per game on 54% shooting from the field, 48% from three-point range, and 87% from the free throw line. And these are only his first 11 games back after an 18-month layoff.
Looking fresh.
From an Achilles tear. I'm going to repeat that. An 18-month layoff after an Achilles tear. And the 30 that he's averaging ain't 6 months into the season. It's the first 11 games.
It's unreal.
This dude is just on another level. Kevin Durant is winning the league MVP because Brooklyn is going to be one of the top three seeds in the Eastern Conference. And whatever James Harden does, this is what's so incredible about Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant suddenly starts averaging less and shooting less from the field, he won't even be blamed. They'll look at Kyrie first. They'll be like, what the hell's going on here? I mean, and by the way, they'll look at Kyrie because initially you were looking at Harden, but it wasn't no problem because what has he been doing since Harden arrived in the first two games? So the minute Kyrie ultimately gets back, if KD is compromised in any way, folks are going to be looking at somebody other than him. He's winning league MVP and comeback player of the year.
Do you remember The Last Dragon? With Bruce Leroy and Show Enough.
That's right.
When they got the glow.
That's right.
That's KD right now. He's got the glow. He's like, he's.
Guys love that movie.
When I say who's the baddest, you say
Show Enough.
Show Enough.
Yeah, that's what he is right now. He steps on the court. He's got a glow around him. It's unbelievable. Like those numbers, what were they? 48%?
48% from three, 87% from the free throw line, 54% from the field. Averaging 30.6.
To say nothing of his passing. Like, you know, KD's becoming a... Look, he's amazing.
Oh, man, one more thing. Yeah. He's only averaging 19 shots a game.
Yeah, right, he's doing super efficient.
19 shots a game.
He's unbelievable, off an Achilles. He's amazing. Thing about it is, James Harden rolled out of bed, as I said, looking like a hot mess, showed up fat, gave him a triple-double with 30 points.
32. Yeah.
32 points in the triple-double.
32, 14, and 12.
So he's got that old man YMCA game, you know, like James Harden's skills
special.
Are up, right.
Special.
So what happens is, look, LeBron and AD, we saw this last year. They both balled out of control. They split the vote, right? Neither one wins MVP, even though obviously one of them, LeBron, was the best player in the league. I think KD and Harden are going to split the vote. I also think that there's another guy, and look, MVP is usually one or two seed in either conference, right? Mm-hmm. So top four seed in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's that, but I'll say this. Luka Doncic is capable of averaging 30 with a triple-double through the course of a season. And if you saw Kristaps Porzingis last night play the second of back-to-back, which he's not even supposed to do. Right. He's looking good already. And the Mavericks are under 500 right now because they're playing without half their team because of COVID protocol. Maxi Kleber and Finney Smith and all these guys. The Mavericks get hot, which I think they will. Porzingis stays healthy. I think Luka's going to get the MVP because it's not like Porzingis is going to peel away votes.
Luka's got a shot. He's averaging 27-9-9. Let's not forget that. Luka's averaging 27-9-9, only shooting 28% from three-point range, 46% from the field, 75% from the free throw line. But here's the bottom line. He ain't coming off an Achilles. KD is. James Harden has no shot at the league MVP. We all know he's phenomenal. We all know he's great. And I like him personally. And I think that, you know, people tried to get on him and give him too bad of a rap when all he wanted to do was get out of Houston. But let me say this to you. Because of how he departed from Houston, and how he was looking at that time, those MVP votes will be held from him because they will be credited to Kevin Durant. The fact that Kevin Durant is with him has him looking better. Kevin Durant has this, the way he's playing right now, if he continues to play, he has this on lock because of what he overcame and how he's playing in spite of it.
Here's the thing about MVP. Really, there's an MVP of the finals.
Win more than Dallas,
there's an MVP of the finals. There's an MVP of the regular season.
Right.
But really, by the end of the finals, we know who the best player in the game was that year. Mm-hmm. Even if KD wins the MVP, it doesn't mean it. It doesn't really mean anything unless he can lead his team past LeBron's. Like, the question is, who's the best player in the world? That's a separate argument, but that's really what KD can prove this
year. Well, that's a different category. But in terms of MVP being most valuable, when you consider what James Harden, where he came from, what he came to, the dysfunction that Kyrie Irving, the distraction, the fact that Kevin Durant is balling and they're winning games.
By the way,
if that continues, he ain't losing
last
no
thing
MVP
about Luka,
award.
It's last his. Thing about Luka, Luka's not really in shape yet. And he's already playing much better defense than he's ever played. And the Mavs are a good defensive team.
He's a future
over
MVP.
The course of this season, let's see how
he's
it all
global.
Shakes
he's
out.
He's global. He's a future MVP. There is no
all
question.
Right, let's
we ain't
roll.
Getting it this year.
I got a heart out, fellas. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Rams are in offseason mode after their loss to the Packers Saturday, and Coach Sean McVay stopped short of guaranteeing quarterback Jared Goff a roster spot in 2021. McVay saying, we're in a situation and that we're in evaluation mode. All those things that we're moving forward, we're looking forward. I can't answer any of those questions until, like I said, I take a step back and evaluate everything that is in the best interest of the Rams. Max, let's read the tea leaves. Can Goff lead them to another Super Bowl?
Goff, whether or not he can lead a team to a Super Bowl, I think you can get to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff as your quarterback. Mm-hmm. This is what you need. And before I even say it, the reporting is that the way it's being phrased is that Goff and McVay need some marriage counseling, right? Like there's some issues there. You can get to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Let's not forget, a couple of years ago, two-thirds of the way through the season, he was in the MVP talk. Remember that Rams team? We said they had three MVP candidates, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, of course, Todd Gurley, and Jared Goff. And he was one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the league. And then the following season, play-action, like, bad at it. Suddenly, like, the guy who was excellent at it, he's bad at play action. What's going on? Jared Goff needs a real good offensive line, and he needs a running back that people will bite on the play fake with because they have to respect that his game. Like, he can't just have an okay running back and an okay line. He needs a real good line and a real good multi-purpose back. If he has that, he can do it. Let's not forget, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to two Pro Bowls. So for a number one overall pick who we're still on the fence about, like, is he a little bit of a bust number one overall? Two Pro Bowls and to a Super Bowl. And by the way, was the quarterback of a very good Rams team this season. The answer is that there are some quarterbacks who have got, you ain't going to a Super Bowl with him. You can go to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. He just needs certain things. Stephen A., he throws a pretty spiral. He can throw it into tight windows. He has a good, strong arm. You can go to a Super Bowl with him.
That was not the question. The operative word was lead, if I remember correctly. Can he lead? That was not the question. Can he go to the Super Bowl? You know what? There's been plenty of quarterbacks that went to the Super Bowl. They weren't the leaders. They weren't the dudes that led you there. I ain't going to mention any names because I don't want to offend people. But the bottom line is you can pick out a few teams that ended up in the Super Bowl, if not winning the Super Bowl. Their quarterbacks didn't lead them there. The defense led them there.
But recently?
Not the quarterback. The point that I'm trying to make to you, Max Kellerman, excuse me, did Jimmy Garoppolo lead the San Francisco 49ers there last year? He did not.
That's a fair point.
That's right.
He was underrated last year.
That defense, that running game, yes. No, it was not Jimmy Garoppolo.
They were in it those first three quarters.
Excuse me?
They were in it those first three quarters.
No, don't get me started with that. My point is that at the end of the day, Jared Goff ain't leading you to no Super Bowl, at least not what we've seen. I'm not going to sit up there and condemn the brother like he has no talent. He can play, and he completed 67% of his passes this year. It improved dramatically from the 62% he generated the year before. But what Jared Goff has to remember is what life was like without Sean McVay and what life became with Sean McVay. And if you're going to sit up there and you talk about they need marriage counseling, well, why you got a problem? You can see, when would Sean McVay make a quote like that? Yeah, he's our quarterback. But now, right now,
yeah.
Excuse me, that's a problem.
That's why I said read the tea leaves. I thought that was pretty telling.
Yeah. Listen, you know why? Because that means, why would Sean McVay say that about you? You must be hard-headed. You must not be wanting to listen. You must think you arrived. Well, you haven't. And the fact of the matter is, when we look at Jared Goff, particularly once he got the money, like you point out, Max, Jared Goff got money, Carson Wentz got money, and they've nosedived since they've gotten the money. Both are a bit problematic. Deshaun Watson doesn't have that problem. Dak Prescott, you can get a long-term deal, but he doesn't have that problem. But clearly with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, those are problems. And guess what? Both of them have problems with their coach. Well, maybe it's them. It's not the coach. But Doug Peterson lost his job. I assure you this. In L.A., Sean McVay will not lose his job because of Jared Goff, like Doug Peterson lost his job because of Carson Wentz. That will not happen to Sean McVay. Jared Goff will be gone before Sean McVay will be gone. I can promise you that.
Well, that's partly because Wentz is seen as a special talent. I don't believe in Wentz anymore, but once upon a time. But I'll just point out, Wentz has never won a playoff game. Goff's been to two Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl. That Goff has done that. And the fact is they made a mistake. I thought they made a mistake with the Goff contract. They made a mistake with the Wentz contract. You bring up Dak Prescott. Forget about Deshaun Watson, different quarterback class. And obviously you give Deshaun the money. They made a mistake with those two contracts. Giving Dak the contract they offered him, had he taken it, would have been a mistake because he promptly got hurt, missed the whole season. Like, in retrospect, you didn't want to do that because you'd have paid for a season of nothing. The fact is you got to be careful who you pay. Jared Goff is not a franchise or an MVP candidate, really. But he's a solid NFL quarterback. He is. He's a solid NFL quarterback.
I want to leave you guys with this note. Jared Goff had 38 turnovers over the last two seasons, second worst in the NFL. Do you know who the worst was?
Danny Dimes.
Yeah, exactly. That's not good. 38 turnovers down there with Danny Dimes.
Well, Danny Dimes is in his second season. Goff has been around
so
for a
while. So let's not sleep on that.
So we're finding an excuse in the month of January, approaching February, to talk about the New York Giants.
No, I'm not. That was a great telling nugget.
You brought up Danny Dimes, tied up this beautiful bow,
and you're ruining it.
But you didn't stop at the nugget. You kept going on about Danny Dimes. It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible.
We're in New York. I'm a Giants fan. Well, Big
Jets
blue,
are,
baby.
The Jets are right here, too. I ain't meant you bring them up.
Goff could use Saquon Barkley. Goff could use, he needs a dynamic running back.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Elsewhere, members of the WNBA publicly expressed their support for Raphael Warnock ahead of his Georgia senatorial runoff win over incumbent Kelly Loeffler, who is also a co-owner of the Atlanta Dream. Loeffler's criticisms of the league in players supporting Black Lives Matter led to some members of the WNBA wanting to speak out. Here's a clip from an ESPN Films documentary that our own Chinne Ogumike is executive producing.
We had a situation where there was an owner of the Atlanta team who spoke out about us not wanting to support Black Lives Matter and really pinning it to the political organization. And clearly, that is not what this is about. This is about Black Lives Mattering, period. So what can we do to kind of, you know, just like defend ourselves in a way, stand up for ourselves, but be strategic about it? And that's when we discovered Reverend Warnock. How can we get some t-shirts made that say Vote Warnock? Like, would this be a good idea? And everyone was like, yeah, let's do it.
We felt a big burden as the Dream players to say something and do something. The pressure was on us. But then it's like, wait, we have like our sisters behind us, you know? Like, we might be competitors on the court, but when it comes to stuff like this, like, we're on the same team.
This is a candidate who we like, who is aligned with us, and if he's able to win that Senate seat and we can get his name out and we can get people in Georgia voting for him and he's in the Senate, then we know who's not.
Okay, so she's a two-time WNBA All-Star, has a radio show, now has a podcast, now you're an executive producer.
A lot of hats.
I don't even know if you're 30 yet. Chinne Ogumike, my girl, it is so great to see you. And as a woman, I am so proud of you. So go on with your bad self. But talk to me about this specifically. What compelled the WNBA players to publicly support Senator-elect Warnock over Loeffler?
First of all, thanks for having me. Glad to be a part of the radio family with Max, Big Sis Molly, Stephen A. I love Stephen A's world. And I think this story is super important, especially this week, given the scenario that we're facing. But, you know, when it came to what the WNBA players were doing, it always takes me back to what my mom has told me. Tiny drops of water make a mighty ocean. Well, the WNBA players have been doing the work consistently, day by day, especially the last few seasons. And now people are seeing the vast nature of that work coming together. The players were one of the major ripple effects of their activism can be shown through a senator now, as you mentioned, and also shown through some t-shirts with Reverend Raphael Warnock, who was polling at 9% at the beginning of August when the WNBA players began supporting him with t-shirts and mentioning him in interviews. And then thereafter, his competition was at that time at 26%. And within the next 72 hours after wearing the shirts, Reverend Warnock received over 200,000 in online donations, boosting his national profile and his resources tremendously. And now he's going to make history as Georgia's first Black senator. So when the situation really started with the Atlanta Dream, the WNBA players did what they've always done. They stood together, fought for one another, and the rest was literally a history.
Well, first of all, you know how proud I am of you as a young sister doing the great, great things that you do and continue to make me proud, girl. Way to go. Let me ask you this question. The team itself, how are you all, the NBA, the WNBA community, how are you all feeling right now about Loeffler continuing to be a co-owner of the Atlanta Dream? What are the thoughts about that? What are the plans as it pertains to addressing that issue?
Yeah, as a member of the executive committee, vice president there, newly reelected, which is really exciting. It's a really difficult situation, but at the same time, we understand exactly what our values are in the WNBA. And that's one of the beautiful things. We are 144 women strong. And even if we don't agree with one another, we understand our value is in standing together and staying through solidarity. And so I think that that will overwhelm whatever the situation was last year. And the years previously with the Atlanta Dream, and I think we will find a nice solution.
Shanae, it occurs to me that, Loeffler never got voted in the first place. She was appointed a position of great privilege. And, you know, once upon a time, owners in sports dictated to players that a bunch of women who play basketball just helped get a black man elected to the Senate in the most important election, maybe for the Senate in my lifetime, certainly one of them, in the Deep South. Do you women ever just talk about the effect that you've had? Like, do you ever marvel at it? It's a stupid question, I know. But that scene is amazing.
I'm going to be honest, Max. You know, the crazy part is the WNBA, and I always tell people, they are not new to this. They are true to this. That's who we are. And this is like the main part of our game is just that we understand where we fit in the overall ecosystem of society. So we have to pound the pavement. We have to find the grassroots. We have to go out there and shake hands. But now we can't do that anymore with our fans. And guess what? That puts us right at the center of our communities. And so this is not something new. This is just something that we have continually done. And like, you know, my mom says, tiny drops of water make a mighty ocean. And now people are starting to see the wave that black women, you know, all the good that they have been doing and now recognizing it in real time.
When you speak to the WNBA players, and I'm asking this question to not just them, you on behalf of them, but also to yourself, why was it so important for you guys to document all of this? Highlight that for me.
Oh, it's so important. You know, the cool thing about this project, this documentary, is it's truly like an all-access look into an entire professional sports league in the middle of a season, like no other. I mean, it's as real as it gets. And these women deserve this moment. They deserve the recognition. They've worked hard for this. And I'm blessed that they trust me with bringing the story to life. And I think that what the WNBA players have really done is they've started to own their authenticity and own, you know, being known not just as athletes, but more than athletes, as leaders in the communities, because we are women. We understand where we fall in the family ecosystem. We have to care. We literally birth the next generation. And so now people are seeing how it's okay to be at the intersection of sports and society, uplift and empower. And it's really cool because, you know, the documentary later on will show all of the real-time strength and also vulnerability that these women exhibit, but also, you know, number one overall, pushing for the collective good.
I cannot wait to see it, and thank you for bringing it to light. Chene, I want to ask you one quick question on a big story that broke today. The Mets fired their GM, Jared Porter, after he sent lewd texts, multiple texts, to a female reporter. What was your reaction to this whole situation?
Look, Molly, I came on to talk about the work that amazing women have done for years and is just now being recognized, and yet this is still the reality that we all face collectively. This is just another reminder of how much work we have to do within the business of sports and women overall in the workplace overall. And women should not have to constantly conform to the poor behavior of men that choose to abuse their power and devalue our experience. So hopefully the consequence of his actions, as we've all seen, you know, strike down today, will serve as a warning for those who think that that ish is still okay.
And can we get a WNBA, some kicks for WNBA players?
Right.
So my daughter who plays basketball
right.
doesn't just have to get Kyrie or Paul George. Can we
get
some
on
WNBA
that.
Kicks, please? There's an enormous
right.
market out there waiting for
Aren't you with Adidas? Make the collab happen. All right. I'm going to end this with a quote by you that I like. We are not new to this. We are true to this. And that is on both fronts. Proud to call you a colleague and a friend. Keep doing your thing. And can't wait to check out the new podcast, First Take, Her Take, as well, in addition to
yes.
the radio show with Mike Golic Jr. So very proud of you. We will talk to you soon.
Always.
All right. We're going to keep it moving here, fellas. The Chiefs face the Buffalo Bills on Sunday at Arrowhead in the AFC title game. Mahomes is still in concussion protocol after taking a vicious hit against the Browns last Sunday, with questions about whether Mahomes will be cleared for Sunday. Andy Reid had this to say.
I mean, there's a chance, you know, back in the day that Patrick comes in. I mean, you know, comes back in. And I think Patrick could tell you, I mean, you saw him run up the tunnel. And by the time he got to that point, he was feeling pretty good. There's a certain protocol that you have to follow. And that takes it out of the trainer's hand and player's hand and doctor's hand.
All right. Can I get a Super Bowl champ? There he is. Perfect timing. Jeff Saturday, good to see you. I like the whole blue tie thing.
I like the whole look.
I'm going to get to Stephen A., though, here on this. What's at stake for Mahomes this weekend, Stephen A.?
Well, listen, I mean, listen, if he doesn't play because of injury, nothing. But if he plays and he doesn't play well, then all the hoopla and Max Kellerman and everybody else has been giving him, we just might need to modify it just a touch. There is nothing to take away from the reality that Patrick Mahomes is great and phenomenal and a Super Bowl champion and a league MVP by the time he's 25. We got all of that. But for me, at this particular moment in time, when I look at a football world that walked around like they forgot about the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, who's about to win. Now he's showing up again. He's about to win league MVP. He's 37 years of age in his 13th season. Okay, this brother threw for 48 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. He's in an NFC championship game. He might be in the Super Bowl come Monday. Okay? And oh, by the way, if he ends up going against Patrick Mahomes and he beats Patrick Mahomes, what are we going to say then?
I know what you're going to say.
So my point is that's the only issue. That's the only debate here. I don't want anybody to let's make sure we understand exactly where I'm coming from. Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal and great. He's a champion, a league MVP, all of those things. But this notion that, guess what? There's no need to discuss who's the best in the world. It is an insult to Aaron Rodgers to think that that argument is closed. It is not closed.
That's a straw man argument because I always said that, in other words, like it's a fake argument. Like I never dismissed Aaron Rodgers.
He knows what it means.
Aaron Rodgers was the best I'd ever seen until Patrick Mahomes. I still take Patrick Mahomes, but it's by a hair. Look, let me say this. This is what's on the line for Mahomes. If he doesn't play, and Aaron Rodgers goes on to win the Super Bowl, Stephen A. will crown Aaron Rodgers the best player in the world.
If he doesn't play this week, he's definitely going to play by the Super Bowl.
If he doesn't play this week, I'm telling you right now, he ain't going to be playing by the Super Bowl because they ain't going to win without Patrick Mahomes.
I agree with that, though.
He ain't just coming in. There's no trick play for Chad Henne at the last second by Andy Reid, a fake of a fake. That's not going to happen. They won't be in a position to win. I think that no one in the history of the NFL, at least in my lifetime, has ever started their career like Patrick Mahomes. The first time he was a starter, he threw 50 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. One MVP of the league was one pre-snap penalty away from going to the Super Bowl, which I believe they would have won. The next season, he improved his touchdown interception ratio and won Super Bowl MVP by calling his own number, dropping like 15 steps, and throwing a 60-yard bomb. The next year, this season, he was the leader for MVP throughout
one
a lot of the season.
Two Mississippi, three Mississippi.
Oh, please, Stephen A.
He was the front runner for MVP. Aaron Rodgers is going to win it. He deserved it. I just point out, Patrick Mahomes was 14-1 as a starter this year. Again, improved his touchdown interception ratio. And here's the big thing for me, Jeff Saturday. It's the only time I've experienced this as a football fan. If he's healthy, I like his team to win the Super Bowl every year before the season starts. Patrick Mahomes is the only player I've ever seen, including Aaron Rodgers, who makes me feel that way. If Mahomes is healthy, I like the Chiefs. So, like, if he doesn't play, they lose. If he plays, I'm very confident they win.
You know, the greatest part about listening to you and just hearing the whole thing is I think we have Tom Brady still playing in an NFC championship game for his 14 championship games coming up this Sunday. So when we start talking about best in the world, all the different things, the man has rings on two different hands. I got Stephen A. yapping about Aaron Rodgers, who is, I think he's 1-3 in championship games. I'm hearing you tell me how all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, was one completion from Jimmy Garoppolo away from maybe not having all the context that we talk about and where he is as a quarterback. The kid is a baller. Like, that we have to crown him as the greatest of whatever is ridiculous when you have a guy who's playing for his 14th championship game, man. 14th. And by the way, he left where he did it for almost 20 years, and he went to the first team, and everybody, including you two, wrote him off about a month ago, said, ain't no way they're getting back. We, you know, they were good to be 10 and whatever.
That's,
you know,
this false.
Is what's expected. I can't even remember how many times this is what's expected. No. Listen, he has continued to ascend as the season has progressed, and you're talking about the 14th time he's taken his team and delivered. I don't care what numbers, how many touchdowns, how many interceptions, how many all those things. The bottom line is the guy who wins the most is still playing Sunday, and this is the talk we're having. Like, how about we don't move on until, because I know you've wanted to move on for many years, Max. You've been talking about the cliff for dang near 10 years, so I don't know where that cliff just keeps on going out, right? It's into yonder. I'm not sure when it hits, but I know there's no cliff right now because he's got his team about
up
to the championship
problem.
Again.
Look, but here's the thing, Jeff.
So he didn't play. Listen, hold on. You don't think Tom Brady played fantastic this season?
Yes, especially considering his age. I wouldn't say he was a top three MVP candidate, but I did think he played very well. He's on a stacked team, both sides of the ball, but he still played very well, especially first year with a new team, different philosophy, COVID can't practice. He deserves all the credit in the world. Bottom line is in the NFC Championship game. Hats off to him. But let's be honest, Tom Brady early in his career, though he won a lot right away, was not considered right away, oh, that's the best player in football. Patrick Mahomes had like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had a baby. The gunslinger stuff of Favre with the precision and mistake-free football of Rodgers, and he's winning like Brady. He's playing in the years, his third year. Listen. He's already almost been to two Super Bowls and won one.
You know why? You know why he wasn't looked upon like Patrick Mahomes? Because he's a sixth-round pick that the starter gets hurt, that he comes in. He wasn't already – had that guy gotten drafted as the heir apparent to Drew Bledsoe, it would have been a whole different context for New England this was. I agree with you. New England won a bunch of games. But, don't ever bypass where guys start in the game. Helps with the push and helps with the wave.
Great.
And all those things. Every GM who drafts a guy and moves up two spots wants to make sure that name gets put out. Hey, I traded up for that guy. I did this for that guy.
Tom Brady was great.
I mean, listen, he's earned. He has earned it. But don't act like Tom Brady was just some kind of slouch who didn't play well. They played a different style of football 20 years ago, right? Like, this whole game has changed, man. We play patty cake on the outside. You can't touch your freaking quarterback. Otherwise, you're getting 15 yards and might get ejected out of the game. So don't put numbers on me of how them dudes had to play like for real ball when I first came in. They were getting really hit, Max. We don't hit them anymore, man. We don't hit them anymore. Listen, we had Patrick Mahomes, and everybody was upset, including his parents, on social media about the hit that he took this past weekend. I'm not saying that's not fair. I'm saying it's a completely different time when you're talking about what Tom Brady has done this thing 20 years, bro. 20 years. And Aaron Rodgers for a long time as well. So when you talk about what he did, it was all because of how he came in.
Mahomes' career to Tom Brady's career. I'm talking about right now. Tom Brady early in his career was great. You're right. You're absolutely right. 2-1 touchdown interception ratio, fewer yards thrown because the game was different. No question. And he did what he had to do. But let's face it, those were essentially defensive teams coached by Bill Belichick. And Brady was game manager plus early on. Be big on third down, get a great field goal kicker in position to kick a field goal to win the game. As he matured and the game changed, now it's carry an offense. That came later for Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes entered the league year one as a starter. This is an offensive team. You carry the offense. And he's done it so far through 3 years better than anyone who's ever done it in their first 3 years. That's all I'm saying.
Jeff Saturday.
Andy Reid.
Jeff Saturday, I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared of you. Let me tell you something, Jeff Saturday. Okay? You know, you have an obligation not just to articulate your argument, but to listen to others. We have religiously, I'll speak for myself because Mac should be banned from talking about Tom Brady. Security should actually come in and escort him.
I second that.
I'm the only one who can give Tom Brady credit right now. You all assume this would happen.
Not after the nonsense you spewed for the last 4 years. You don't even deserve to have a part in this conversation. But I'll tell you this, Jeff. What we recognize about Tom Brady is that Tom Brady is the greatest winner of them all in the modern era. There is no question about that. 6 Super Bowl champions, 9 Super Bowl appearances. We get all of that. Nobody's resume compares to his. When we're talking about greatness, what we're talking about also is the talent that you see, understanding that your resume does not compare to Tom Brady, that you haven't accomplished. In terms of being able to scramble, having wheels, not just an arm, being able to scramble outside of the pocket to your left or right and do some of the things that we've seen both Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers does. That's the only reason why the comparison to those two come about. There is no comparison to Tom Brady in any other category. We understand that. But when it comes to just pure talent, remember how you used to look at Dan Marino? Flicking the football. Now, he could not run a snail. But my God, could that man throw the football. We understood that about Dan Marino. There was something special about what you were seeing from him, even though it was Montana and others that were winning Super Bowl titles. So we understand the difference here. In the end, what you've done is you've made a stronger case, as you should, because you're the Super Bowl champion. You're the former football player. You're the aficionado when it comes to this. You made my argument for me when it comes to Aaron Rodgers compared to Patrick Mahomes. You're saying resume matters. The game is modified. It has changed. Football was played. A different brand of football was played back in the day compared to what it is now. And look at what Aaron Rodgers did back a decade ago. And look at what he's doing right now. This brother is special. And what I'm saying is, as a result of that, if you sit up there and you look at him going against Mahomes and he ends up going to the Super Bowl against Mahomes and beating Mahomes, it would validate what I had been saying all along. Regardless of the greatness that you saw from Patrick Mahomes, it ain't written in stone that this dude is something that Aaron Rodgers never was nor ever could be. It wasn't finished with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers has proved that this year. Mahomes, and I think he's about to prove it right now.
Mahomes wins so far in his career like he's Tom Brady or Joe Montana. He has an electric arm and gunslings like he's Brett Favre. He has the decision-making ability of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. He can run. What can't he do? He doesn't throw interceptions. Like he has,
I don't know what you've been watching. I've seen plenty of times where Mahomes hasn't looked great. Plenty.
Right. I haven't.
Max, let's ask this. Max, we've seen the win or how many points they're winning by shrink, right? Pretty significantly this year from last year, right? Mm-hmm. So as the league continues to catch up, the reality is catching up with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, right? Like that catch up matters. When you talked about Tom Brady coming to the league, he played for a defensive minded coach, so they're not going to air it all out. When Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy, they had that Brett Favre mentality where they did want the quarterback to move. They did want him to use some athleticism. They did want him to do some different things. So when you're trying to compare those guys, so you're telling me you don't think if Aaron Rodgers had been with Andy Reid for however much time it's been, he wouldn't look identical to what Patrick Mahomes?
I think so. I think Rodgers is the one guy who would have basically done what Mahomes did. By the way, third straight championship game. Patrick Mahomes. Yes, I think Rodgers is the one dude who could basically do what Mahomes is doing.
That's what I've been telling you all along.
For sure.
That's why I can't sit up there and look at Patrick Mahomes and say, it's no reason to even discuss anybody else.
All I said was we don't know if Rodgers is still in his prime or if he's just getting used to LaFleur. It turns out he's still great. So, yeah. The best of Rodgers is very comparable to the best of Mahomes. If I had to choose, I'll take Mahomes.
Yeah, two years with LaFleur has shown you how good Aaron Rodgers is. And listen, much beyond just the gunning and running, like play checks, where he's putting the advancement of the game, Aaron Rodgers is on a different level now. Like don't sleep with – I mean, you can look at the way they put their scheme together and they literally put it in Aaron's hands of what he's done. Obviously not stepping away from Stephen A. He does make a very strong point about Aaron Rodgers in the fact of those similar styles. And the other part about that, you know, from the whole top down is how many years has Aaron Rodgers been able to do that? My only issue with the Mahomes argument is It's fast, man. And you're talking about how you know, we're like in this microwave society. We want to make these and cast these decisions so quickly. All we're saying is don't push the old heads out yet. Don't push them out yet. They're still hanging on. And it's not like they're just they're game managing. These guys are still balling and taking their teams to the places they want to go.
All right, Jeff Saturday, I need you to bring that same intensity for this next topic I want to get your take on as well. We're going to go to H-Town, my friend. Sources have told our Adam Schefter that Texans star quarterback Deshaun Watson is still upset with the franchise over, among other issues, the process they used to hire general manager Nick Caserio. One source told ESPN's Sarah Barshop that the Texans have had internal conversations about possible trade partners and what their quarterback position would look like in the future without Watson. I mentioned this earlier. Watson accounted for 83% of the team's offense, Max. That's never been done in NFL history in a single season. How do the Texans look right now?
Like the worst franchise in the NFL. Let me be brief. A franchise is hoping. Let's say you started with nothing but a huge cache of draft picks, right? And otherwise, you don't. How do you want to make your team? What you're hoping, if you drafted high up year after year, is eventually you might find a Deshaun Watson. The odds are against it. The odds are really against it. Very few quarterbacks have ever played like this. Odds are against it. And then a character guy who was a champion in college, who's the kind of guy who makes everyone believe, who's exactly who you want representing your franchise. You're lucky if you ever come close to finding that guy, even if the point is to rebuild your franchise. You have that guy, and you have so alienated him. Mark my words, you will now lose him. You will trade him. That is the worst franchise in football.
I think I totally agree with you. I think two things need to be mentioned. I think if I'm the New York Jets, I'm willing to trade the number 2 overall pick, the number 25 overall pick, even a couple of draft picks to get my hand on Deshaun Watson in New York City. If you're the New York Jets, trade them both first-round picks. And trade them both first round picks and whatever else you need to get your hands on Deshaun Watson. You do that if you're the New York Jets. That's number one. Number two, I think there's an investigation that needs to take place into what transpired from the time Deshaun Watson cried with gratitude about the Houston Texans paying him what they paid them, even though anybody would have given it to him, of course. There needs to be an investigation into what happened from that moment to right now, because he went from being completely and totally appreciative of the faith that they showed in him to losing complete faith in them in a season.
That's right.
That's something wrong with that picture. And again, I don't want to sit up there and sully the dead or anything like that. We know Bob McNair, the former owner, is God rest his soul. But the bottom line is this. Prior to the whole social justice issue, the whole social justice movement, he had alienated DeAndre Hopkins once upon a time. DeAndre Hopkins didn't like some of the things he said, you know, with the whole, you know, inmates running the asylum and all of this other stuff. Then the social justice issues came about. Now, obviously, he's gone, but his family is still running the show. Somebody did something. When I've spent time with Dabo Swinney, the coach at Clemson, he raves about the character of Deshaun Watson. Called him not just a Michael Jordan as a talent, but talked about his will to win, his perseverance, his tenacity. We know the great story with him, his mom, and all. He's a high character guy. What happened from you going in one season to having nothing but gratitude for the team that gave you this money to not wanting anything to do with them? They did something.
It ain't Deshaun.
That's right.
It ain't Deshaun.
The Houston Texans did something, Jeff. I don't know what, but you, being in the Players Association, being an officer, you know, being in the NFL years, knowing the NFL the way you do, guys don't switch on a team like that unless something happened.
You were spitting truth. I mean, the bottom line is this. You trade away DeAndre Hopkins, which you know is actually detrimental to this football team. Because whatever you want to say about Hopkins, this cat came out every Sunday, win or lose, and left it all out there. You see the minute that he goes to the Cardinals, what he did for that organization as a whole. So now you've traded this thing away. You have one of the top five quarterbacks in our game, not only on the field, but probably maybe top two or three off the field, and what Deshaun Watson brings to your organization, what he's done in your community. Like Max said, won a championship, the leadership, all the things that he has brought to this organization. And at this point, you have so alienated this guy, he's ready to leave. Something went down, and I can tell you, it's the lack of respect of asking, what direction do you think we should be heading? Whether it's general manager, whether it's head coach, whether it's offensive coaches, you name it, you sit down with your guys. There's a nucleus of guys. I'm not saying they make the decision, but I'm saying you hear out what their thoughts are, because listen, they live it every day, right? The owner doesn't live it every day. And I have no idea how McNair's running his football team, but without a general manager, and the head coach was a general manager who you fire midway through the season, the first guys I'm bringing in is the nucleus and the leadership of your team. Three or four on offense, three or four on defense. Then you have a private meeting with Deshaun Watson. Hey, Deshaun, what are you thinking? Where do you like to head? What type of coordinator do you want? Where should we be going? And again, he's not making the final call, but his input is valued and trusted because you know he's on board with your team. I mean, I don't understand how many more guys got to get in the, you know, and be on board with what you have. Once he's in, it goes a much better direction. It's just disappointing how they've moved on.
Yeah. Jeff, I want to have some fun here because I was watching you on Get Up this morning and I was dying. Can I please show one of your pancakes to Max and Stephen A? I referenced it earlier. This is Kendrick Perkins' son. You can talk about it, Jeff.
Yes. Oh, look at the walk. That is my favorite. That was a three pancaker, Molly. What? Look at him snatch it. Oh, hey, Big Perk got that kid rolling, baby. He got the stomp away, too. Arms out. I mean, it does not get any better for me than this walk right here. Oh, hey, Perk got this kid. He's amped up, baby.
His mouth. Oh, my God.
It is so good.
The tree does it.
Let me
tell you.
How
good was that?
Are you ready for the prediction?
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for the prediction?
Yeah.
Either he's going to follow in his daddy's footsteps and be a center in the NBA, or he's going to be an offensive lineman in the NFL. One or two.
Amen.
One or two. No
question. We'll take it either way. Hey, Swaggoo had the best line. Swaggoo said it reminded of him because his mama had to tote his birth certificate around to prove his age. It's so true. That kid's walking away. I was like, is he the same age as my son? Because he don't look like it.
Oh, my God. He's got the build and the attitude. I can't wait to talk about this with Perk tomorrow.
I've never seen arms that far away.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.